Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
You know, start of the year, I said to Pastor Josiah, it has a ring to it, doesn't it? All right? And said to Pastor Josiah Wilson, I said to him, mate, what do you feel God is stirring within our people? What series, what thing do you want to bring? What is it that God's saying for the people? Because God's speaking to you, what's he saying? And a few weeks later, he came to me and said, as I believe that God wants to do a series this year called The Mind of Christ, to have the mind of Christ. And everything within my spirit just resonated with that. And throughout the year, we've kind of just held on to this series. And here we are in July. And I don't think there's any better time than to bring a series like this, because by July, we start to think about the year that's gone by. We get to the middle of the year and we go, was this the year that I planned out at New Year's Eve? When I had my New Year's resolution, is this what it looked like in July? And for some of you, you're like super excited. You're full of joy. There's victory in your heart. And you're just like, man, we're going. God's good. You know, for me, I'm like, we got a building. You know, I've got this excitement in my spirit. But I also know that for some of you, by July this year, your mind is filled with disappointment, frustration, despair, shame. And today I want to say this. Even some of you walked in this morning and your mind is racing over certain things in your life. You can't stop playing the reel over and over and over and over again. It's like relentless. I'm going to pray right now that God will still your mind, because he wants to speak today. Holy Spirit, may you still their minds. Jesus, still their minds that they can have clarity of mind. Hear your words. God, I pray for freedom. Freedom in Jesus' name. God, you're going to do incredible things today. We know it. We come with great expectation for you to move. Amen? Man, this whole series, 4 weeks, the mind of Christ. The next 4 weeks is actually a lot about freedom. It's all about freedom. Freedom for your mind, your soul, freedom for your heart. And I'm just praying that by the end of this 4 weeks, you will be completely and absolutely transformed. You will not be the same person that you've been coming in week in, week out, that God is going to do something new in you. And he's going to start with your mind. He's going to start with your mind. You know, when I was a 90s kid, I grew up in the 90s. Any 90s kids here? The best years. Tamagotchis, Tazos, Power Rangers, Game Boys. Tamagotchi was my first. I remember letting that little egg die. It was actually my sister's. My one lived many a life. But in the 90s, there was a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, the fashion's back. Whatever, Isaiah, you're wearing 90s clothes wherever you are. You know, it's just, I love it. I'm like, man, it's just, I was saying to the 8, bring back the 3/4 baggy pants. I had some. They were bright purple and bright orange. They came from the old surf shop called Boku. It got shut down. Oh, 3/4. Thank you, Jesus. Revival has started. I couldn't see you. You were camouflaged. Anyway, so. So in the 90s, though, there was something else that was really prominent. WWJD. You know, everyone wore a little armband. What would Jesus do? And it was great for Christians because everyone knew WWJD. It was also a terrible time for young Christian teenagers because the word hypocrite came up a lot. You know, you're wearing your WWJD and your friends are like, you're a hypocrite. You know, it was kind of a thing. And I kind of love that last week Josiah Wall was like WWJD, brought it up again. But, you know, growing up, in that time with WWJD, it was like, what would Jesus do? But I actually think as followers of Jesus, we need to know what Jesus would think. Because before any action occurs, a thought process starts. And if you have the same mind as Christ, the way you live your life will look differently. And we've got to ask ourselves, what was Jesus thinking every day, all day in his ministry? What was on his mind? What weighed on Jesus' mind? When he woke up in the morning to do another day of ministry, was he thinking, today's a good day to feed 5,000? I think I might open some blind eyes today. Oh, I wonder what we could do with the boys today. I wonder if we could go and walk on some water. I wonder what we could do. I wonder what Jesus was thinking. But I'm going to tell you, we know what Jesus was thinking. His mind was constantly on one thing, doing the will of the Father. In fact, in John 5:19, he says this. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. My focus is on my Father in heaven, and I want to do what his will is here on earth. His kingdom on earth. All day, every day, Jesus' ministry, he never did anything because of his own ideas. It was just always a reflection of the Father's heart, God's will. You think about it, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he's crying out, God, if you can take this cup of suffering away from me, if you can do this any other way than me having to go to the cross and dying, having my body torn apart, he knew what was coming. He said, please take it away. But he said, but not my will, your will be done. It's why when Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray, the very opening statement is, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, holy is your name, your will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done. It was his thought process every day, every moment. And if we want to be truly followers of Jesus, we want to be Christians, which just simply means a small Christ, we have to have the mind of Christ. We first have to have the mind of Christ. And just a bit of a disclaimer, in this series, there is going to be a lot of scripture. You're welcome. Last service, I apologized. So there's going to be a lot of scripture. And Bella goes, never apologize for bringing the word. Amen. It's going to be a lot of scripture. You see, this series is not Josiah Wilson's ideas or As Hamilton's ideas. This is the Word of God. This comes directly from Scripture. This is the powerful, life-giving Word of God. It will change your life. Pick up the Bible. The Scriptures say in Hebrews 4:12, it says this, for the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Thoughts first. Judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. The Word of God exposes our innermost being. By bringing truth to our innermost being, which in turn will give us the ability to set us free. Free from the constant lies that we're being fed daily by the world and its standards. These are the words of Jesus. He says this in John 8:31-32. He says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you abide in my word, if you connect to my word, if you are washed in my word, if daily the word of God is within you and you are within the word, you'll be free. Why? Because it's truth, and the truth will set you free. Today, may you just allow the words of God wash over you, set you free, give you a new mind, the mind of Christ. You need to know the word. It will set you free. You know, men's prayer on Tuesday mornings. Can I invite you again, men? Get out of bed. Get out of bed. I am not going to apologize anymore to ask you to do this because we are seeing miracle on miracle on miracle unfold. Not to build some kind of men's group, but to seek the things of God. I'm telling you, there is a strength coming through the men. And not that the women are not important at all. In fact, we are in partnership with Christ, men and women. God has called us all. But God is doing something. And I'm telling you, we don't just sit around praying. We actually open the Word of God. Every term, we're looking at a psalm, but there's a passage of scripture I brought to the men last week, and I said, you need to learn three verses off by heart. And everyone went, ooh. Scripture verse 3, I said 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. The first verse is very short. It says, rejoice always. An entire verse. Why'd the writer make it a whole verse? It's two words. Because he wants you to rejoice always. The second one is 17. It says, pray without ceasing. Stop. It's an entire verse. You think, let's roll it all into one, get it done. No, no, no. Pray without ceasing. And then 18 says, and thank God in all circumstances. Thank God in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. The word of God, man. That's been rolling around in my spirit all week. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks to God in all circumstances because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. The word of God will set you free. Today we're going to look at more of the word of God. The first thing you need in your life as a follower of Jesus is the word of God. I'm so thankful that Beck is running a Bible study for women on Monday nights every term. Why? Because they're getting the word of God. And there's women giving up time to make sure that they are learning the word of God because it's going to set them free. Sets them free. Romans 8:6 says this, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. And throughout this series, we're going to look at a passage of scripture over and over again until you get it in your spirit. It says this in Romans 12:1-2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. When it comes to having the mind of Christ, we've got to start right here. Let's read this again. I'm going to read it again. It says this, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. First point today, if you're taking notes, if you're not, that's okay. Listen to the podcast. Take them at home. But first point today is simply this. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Before you get to renew your mind, you must die to your old ways of thinking. It's not a bolt-on, an add-on. It's a renewing. Before the new comes, the old must die. When you come to Christ, when you repent to a life of sin, God, I'm sorry that, sorry, you know, that moment isn't, I'm sorry, I'll keep doing what I'm doing. Like, it's not like, I'm sorry, I got off the hook, I'm back in heaven. It's repentance. It's a full life turnaround. Your old life dies and you become a new creation. It's why Jesus challenges his followers, this little teaching, for us to do something significant daily. He says, every day you must take up your cross daily. Take up your cross daily. If you want to follow me, you've got to take up your cross daily. What does that look like? No, you're not carting around a timber cross to work. It's not wearing a cross around your neck. It's dying to your selfish ambition daily. Every day you got to go, God, I die to my own selfish ambition. I lay it down at the cross. But here's the thing. So many of us, I think in church and even believers, we've received Jesus' salvation. I accept that Jesus died for me. I've repented of my sins. I am a new creation. And we have a life-altering moment and our behaviors change to those around us. We're no longer swearing anymore. We're using Christian cuss words. You know what I mean? Like we're kind of altered a little bit. We're kind of a little bit different and people go, wow, you're different. But my challenge in this series is, have you ever repented of your thought life? Did you kill that as well when you came to Christ? Because you need a new way of thinking, a new way of doing life. You can't accept salvation and have the same thought process. God wants to give you something new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Not just a portion of you, not just your outward actions, but what's going on internal is more important, your thought life. The unseen things. I love that Paul, in Romans 12, he writes, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. When you give God your whole being and you sacrifice it and you die to your old selfish ambition, that's what God sees as true and proper worship, not your half an hour of singing on a Sunday. That's not worship. This is true and proper worship. When you kill off the old man and decide, I am a new creation, not just in my actions, but my thought life. Man, it's quiet in here. Someone said, we're thinking. I like that. We're going to die to our thoughts and our selfish desires and allow God to have his way. Number one, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is your true and proper worship. Second, renewing of the mind. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Church, this is like a powerful statement. It's not an idea, it's an instruction. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. I don't know about you. Who wants to see the Redlands won for Christ? If you want to see the Redlands won for Christ, it's going to start with your thought process. It's going to start in your mind. Actions come from a place of thought process. And to destroy the pattern of this world, we actually have to break the mold and break off our thought process once we used to have before Jesus. In fact, the whole point of this series really is for us to get the mind of Christ and go the opposite direction to the pattern of this world. Like, we actually want to go the opposite way. We want to bring glory to God through our lives. And I'm going to be honest in saying this because I'm human, believe it or not. It's very easy for me to make excuses just to fall in line with the pattern of this world. Well, that's just how everyone does stuff. That's what everyone does. I do it this way because everyone else does it that way. And then I bolt on a little bit of difference because that's my Christian compartmentalized part of my world. No, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Be completely different. Go the opposite way. Have a new way of thinking. It's what God calls us to. With Jesus, the old has gone, the new is here. Those who don't follow Christ follow the world's patterns. They live by the flesh. They live for themselves. It's carnal. The scripture calls it the pattern of this world. If you're new to church, the writer of this scripture, by the way, who says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, understood the pattern of the world better than anyone. He killed Christians for a living. He followed his carnal ideas. He went after it. And in a moment, he experienced the power of God that hit him, transformed his actions, but his mind was completely different. His mind was that of Christ. Paul, this guy, writes majority of the New Testament, the second half of the Bible, if you've never heard that. Transformed. And God can do it for you too. The pattern of this world. And why does Paul write this? Because he knows how tempting it is to fall back into that pattern. He knows it. It's so easy to fall back into the pattern of what everyone else is doing. And he wants to point it out. Romans 8:6, he writes, for to set the mind on the flesh, which is the worldly pattern, is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit, who is Jesus and his Holy Spirit, is life and peace. If you've been here over the last couple of months, you would have known we've done a whole thing on the fruit of the Spirit, right? What happens when we come to Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit, and the fruits of the Spirit get displayed in our life. Galatians 5:16-25, the same guy, Paul, writes this. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh, that worldly pattern. They're in conflict with each other,
so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. The acts of the worldly pattern are obvious. If you want to know what the worldly pattern looks like, they're obvious. They're in front of our face every day of our lives. He says this: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. He says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit to have a transformed mind of Christ is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. They've offered their bodies as living sacrifices. They've had true worship with its passions and desires. They've let it go. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. When you decide to follow Jesus and give him your life, you can't help but be changed. It's not a heavy burden. You want it. Because the Spirit's testifying with your spirit, the truth. And you're like, I want to be more like Jesus. I want the new. I love that last week, Josiah Walt talked about the new. Who was here for that? Man. The new. And I love his example of when God takes a life, he doesn't give us a life that's 2.0 version of our old life. He doesn't take a small dog, make it a big dog with bigger teeth and more ferocity. What he does is he completely transforms your life. You're no longer a dog, you're now a unicorn. Now, when I heard that, I went, I want to be a tougher animal. But you know, like, what he's saying is when the new comes, the old is gone, including your thought life that you once had. The old is gone. It goes on after saying, do not conform to the pattern of this world. It says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The scripture gives us the keys to knowing God's perfect will for our life. Ever wanted to know what God's will is for your life? Don't conform to the pattern of this world. Seek his ways, and he will give you a new mind that will reveal to you. It says we're able to test and approve what God's will is for our lives. In other words, when your mind is renewed, you'll be able to test and approve, say yes to God's will for your life, his good and pleasing and perfect will for your life. Nothing is out of place when you're in God's will. Nothing. The renewing of your mind is a game changer when it comes to following Jesus. The patterns of this world are broken off. We start to live by the Spirit. A renewed mind in Christ is like a countercultural shot to the heart. It's like, man, I just want to be like Jesus. I actually don't care what other people do. I'm doing it Jesus' way because I want the mind of Christ. Romans 8:6, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit Jesus is life and peace. Hey, today, I know that today, for me, I'm going to be speaking some things, but I just want to say this is spoken from testimony. It's my story. And so if God can do this for me, he can do it for you. I'm no one special. I'm just someone who had an encounter with Jesus. And he transformed my life. Multiple times in my life, he's broken off the pattern of this world in my life. And then I don't know, when I was 17, he broke that pattern off of what he's expected and gave me a strength to live for Jesus. But then in my early 20s, he had to break it off again because I fell back into the old trap. That's why Paul writes this, hey, like, you know, you need to keep on going, keep going, keep going, keep renewing your mind daily, not just once. You know, I had it happen again in my 20s, like even 2 years ago, God broke off a pattern in my life as your pastor that just released me and gave me freedom in my mind. And he can do it for you. I don't want to talk for much longer, but I do want to talk about an issue in the mind that I believe is just wreaking havoc in this generation and in the church. Today, I want to talk about fear. I want to talk about fear and how by having a renewed mind through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be free of it, free of fear. You know, I'm not going to talk much longer today, but I want to speak to this worldly pattern of fear. So it says, wreaking havoc. And I wholeheartedly believe that Jesus is the answer to it. And I believe that Jesus wants to give you freedom today. Who wants to be free of fear? Cool. He's going to give it to you today. We're going to give you a moment. Why do I believe it? Because I believe the word of God. And we just read the scriptures. If you set your mind on the flesh, it's death. Set your mind on the spirit. What does he provide? Life and peace. What is peace? The opposite to fear. The complete opposite. Super interesting when we talk about fear, though. If you say to people, what are you fearful of? You know, like, you know, those, what are you afraid of? Snakes, spiders, clowns, jumping out of a plane. You know those fearful things. We have all these fears in our life, what we're the dark. Fear. If you get asked, what are you fearful of? People come up with these big things. And to be fair, like, you know, if you're not fearful of a couple of those things, it might not be great. Like if you decide that brown snake, you're going to cuddle it like a cuddly bear, you know, it might bite you. You want to make sure you know Jesus beforehand. But fear. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. But here's the deal. Fear, when people are fearful, they don't do anything. Fear equals control. If you're fearful, if I can get you to be fearful in your mind, in your heart, you will be stopped in your tracks. You will become a cripple. Fear cripples people. You ever heard that statement? What's a cripple do? They can't walk near run. What does God call us to? Run the race set out before us. Stops us in our tracks. Fear. Fear has gripped the minds of our teenagers. Fear. Don't let Satan rob you of your God-given destiny because of fear. I'm not just talking to them, I'm talking to you. But you're like, we got it. Mm. Here's the deal, though. Fear in our day... It's a very interesting thing because people don't actually use the word fear very much. Oh, I'm fearful of everything. No, it's hidden by and disguised by a very trendy word in our world, anxiety. I'm anxious. Anxiety is trendy. I work with teenagers every second day of my life in schools. I can't participate. I have anxiety. No, you have fear. I'm calling it out. Let's call it out for what it is. It is fear. It's fear. If you actually look up the definition, because people hide behind medical conditions with this. I have anxiety. No, you have fear that can be broken off your life in Jesus' name. The actual definition of anxiety, you look it up, is this. Anxiety is the feeling of fear, dread, or uneasiness. The fear of the unknown. Anxiety, fear is a place where faith cannot exist. And faith can break it off. Satan is having a field day at the moment. An absolute field day. This is not just teenagers. It's nearly every second person in this church. You tell me, I'm anxious. I've got anxiety. No, you've got fear and God wants to set you free. He's having a field day. Anxiety literally cripples a person, stops them in their tracks. Run. Run the race. The Redlands for Christ only happens when people start to run in the calling on their life and not care what people think because they have the power of God. Man, you turn on the radio. Satan's very good at tricking, deceiving, and destroying. It's his plan. Biggest song on the radio at the moment, Anxiety. Keep on trying me. I feel it quietly. Trying to silence me. I love that you were like, please stop. That is not a nice song. It is a demonic statement. Satan appears as an angel of light. Hey, sing this all day. Do a TikTok dance. Upload it. Isn't this cute? No. I can't even read the full lyrics of that song because it's not G-rated, PG-rated, M. It's X-rated. And it's fulfilling what Satan wants to do and get into the minds of people. My anxiety can't shake it off of me, it says. One line, this is a verse in this. I get this tightness in my chest like an elephant is standing on me. And I just let it take over. Anxiety keeps on trying me. Anxiety keeps on trying me, yeah. Oh, I feel it trying. A tightness on your chest, that doesn't sound like something nice. It sounds like the attack of the enemy. A demonic attack. You talk to people that are full of fear. I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. The breath of life is God's breath. He wants to open your lungs up again. Why do you need breath? So you can run. The demonic is sung about in a catchy tune. Whatever you think about, whatever you meditate on daily, I know I keep going over here, church, I'm sorry, but you need to get this. Whatever you watch, whatever you listen to, that is actually meditation. Whatever you give the most time to and attention to, that is called meditation. Whatever you meditate on will become who you are. Why do we sing songs in church? Why did we bring this new song, I Was Made for More? Because it is a declaration, prophetic word to speak out what God says about you. If you're going to sing songs that are on the radio all day and only give God 15 minutes, don't think that that's going to overpower the 90 plus hours a week that you spent consuming and meditating on the things and the patterns of this world. I know I'm talking to you, but I'm actually talking. Oh, calling out my real name, Aaron. All right. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He was a light bringer. What is I Made for More? What are the lyrics? You might not have even had the focus to watch them because your mind was still racing. I'm going to read them out to you. I know who I am because I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. A 30-second prayer is just the beginning. A life running the race is what he calls us to. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future and it's worth the living. Because I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. I was made for more. Oof. We sing it because we believe the word of God and has power to crack off the pattern of this world. Church, I was full of fear in my teen years. It's probably why I always keep coming back to teenagers, because I want you to get this. Full of fear. Full of what people, fear of what people thought of me. I had built in my mind what people thought I was based on my external image. I was the short, shy, fat kid with a shaved head. That was what I believed about me. That had nothing to say, and I was hiding at school until the end of grade 12. I never did public speaking. I never did drama. I've shared this before. My only speech I ever did at school was my final day of school. Talk to any of my teachers. They're like, what happened to you? I'll tell you what happened to me. The fear was broken off my life by the power of Jesus. You can do it for me. You can do it for you. I got touched by the Holy Spirit. One moment, one encounter with God. Holy Spirit hit me. The fire of God hit me in a worship session. I positioned myself in the place where God could move. I got hit so hard, I was keeled over, speaking in tongues, didn't know what was going on. My mate next to me is keeled over on the floor. We went home after this worship night, both of us confused as to what just happened. We were sleeping on the floor of a school in Sydney because our school was cheap and didn't get us proper accommodation. And on an air mattress, I said to my mate Josh, I think God wants us to lead worship at school. My greatest fear is singing. I still find it hard. You might not believe that, but I'm telling you, I have to break off fear every time I open my mouth up here. I choose God's way. And my mate said, can you sing? I said, no. We went back to my school. It was all the girls that led everything. Nothing wrong with girls leading worship. But worship is not feminine. Men, worship is warfare. And when you get that in your spirit, you're the one that's lifting your hands and singing all with everything you've got. If King David, a man, a mighty man of God, put worship first, why don't we? And I'm telling you, I remember getting up on a stage and singing at our chapel, the first guy ever leading worship at my school in this Christian school, probably a bit like Redlands in some way, but a small version. And I started singing. I was terrified. I had my eyes shut the whole time. And at the end, I said to my mate, Josh, I couldn't hear your voice. I was terrified. He said, dude, I was so scared. I turned my mic off. I'm sorry. What a stitch up. But you know what happened? Because of obedience and stepping into the call of God on my life instead of choosing fear, revival broke out in my school. You want to see the Redlands one for Christ? You got to break off fear and start believing the Word of God. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to overcome fear, not just you going, I need to try harder. You need to walk in the power of God. And at the end of this service, we're going to give you the chance to receive the power of God. You can walk out of here fearless, full of faith. Paul writes to Timothy, one of his understudies. Paul is in jail at the time in Rome, and he's encouraging one of his understudies to keep going when it comes to bringing the message of Jesus. And in 2 Timothy 5:7, he says this, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us the spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and self-control. Now, here's the thing. When we read that, we forget what's actually going on. And why is Paul writing to Timothy? Well, Timothy's hero and Timothy's mentor is in jail. He said many people die for their faith. And he's out there. And Paul is like, I need to remind you of what's happened. You need to fan into flame the gift of the Holy Spirit. When I laid hands on you, you received power. Don't forget the power. Keep going, Tim. He reminds him. He's like, hey, your grandmother had it. Your mom had it. You've definitely got it. Keep going. Fire up, Tim. Don't forget. Why does Paul have to remind Timothy of this? I guarantee you, every day Timothy's mind would have gone, Paul's going to die. I'm going to be left all alone. The fear and the accuser comes in and just starts attacking Tim. And Paul's like, I better write to him to remind him. The power of God changes things. The Spirit of God changes things. It'll break off the pattern of this world. Are you getting this? God wants it for you too. You think about it, there were some timid people in an upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit. They didn't even know what the Holy Spirit was, but they knew there was 500. Now there's 120. Jesus has risen from the dead, but then he left them. So now we're all alone. John the Baptist has promised, hey, I baptize you in water. One's going to baptize you in fire and power. They don't know what it looks like. But they're timid. They're scared in a room. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit hits. They receive the power of God. And all of a sudden, they no longer fear what anyone does. They start declaring the goodness of Jesus. And every one of those disciples doesn't care if their lives are taken because they're like, you can't kill me. I'm an eternal being. No fear. We're going to get there. 2 Corinthians 10, 1-5. Paul writes it again, appealing to those new Christians, those followers. By the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you. You ever seen that before? Paul is timid when face to face. He's a shy guy. I'm shy. I'm an introvert. So was Paul. Who am timid when face to face with you, but bold towards you when away. I beg you that when I come, I might not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. He's saying, hey, remember the pattern of the world. We don't do it. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they are divine power. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You want to fight the pattern of this world, you need the mind of Christ. Paul writes in Philippians 4 again. He's trying to encourage the early church, don't quit. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and Syntyche to agree in the Lord. So there's obviously arguments going on. Get right. Yes, I ask you also, a true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. He's encouraging the early church, get your strength back. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice, like we talked about Thessalonians before. You need to rejoice always. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious. Do not be fearful about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Think about these things, practice these things, and what happens? And the God of peace will be with you. Whatever you meditate on, whatever you give your time to, whatever you're scrolling through on your social media, don't focus on what the world finds, some stuff that God wants you to focus on. You too. When we focus our attention and mind and set our ways on God, we'll have the mind of Christ. We will not fear. We will not fear. I'm going to tell you a quick story. We're going to get it done. We're going to have some prayer time, some ministry time. Where I believe you're going to get your freedom. Who wants their freedom today? Put up your hand if you want freedom. You need to have expectation. God's going to set you free today. I'll tell you a story about a man in our church. This happened in the last week. 2 weeks ago, Beck and I were at a prayer meeting. He's given me full permission to share this, by the way. I think he's actually excited that I am. 2 weeks ago, Beck and I were at a prayer meeting, and a gentleman in our church, his name's Alan Lucas, came up to Beck and I and said, can you pray for me? I'm not in a good way. I've been vomiting. The doctors said, you know, there's some bad reports. I don't know what to do. So we prayed for him. Went away a week later on the Friday night. This is 2 weeks ago on Friday. It's late in the night. I get a text from him. Sorry for messaging you, Pastor. He's such an encourager. He's like, great man of God. Sorry for messaging you at this time. But he's like, I've been rushed to hospital. It's not looking good. Call my wife, Janice. Try to call her. No answer. Try to call on Saturday. No answer. No call. I try to call Sunday. Nothing. Send her a message to Janice. I heard that Alan's not in a good way. Can you call me? And on Monday morning, finally got to talk to her. It's probably about 9 a.m. It's very early on Monday morning. This is just the week that's gone. I said, are you all right? She's like, not really, Pastor. She said, we've just had three doctors tell Alan he's got 3 days to live, maybe. It's not good. We're getting family coming over from New Zealand. It's not good. And I said to Janice, I'm coming right now. We're going to pray for him. We're going to anoint him with oil, the representation of the Holy Spirit. We're going to stand on the Word of God and what it says to do in these times. And I'm going to be honest with you, church. Fear gripped my heart in a moment. As I'm driving, like, God, would you do something? Alan's such an encourager. If you're around Alan, you can't help but laugh and smile, and he's just amazing. Been incredible in the Redlands for many years. And I get to the hospital. I'm thinking, oh gosh, what am I going into? I walk in and he was full of joy. What? Alan, what's going on? Pastor, it's good to see you. I'm like, what? And the doctors are like consoling Alan, saying, hey, you might want to go out to get some fresh air. In other words, you've only got a couple of days to live. You might as well enjoy it. He's in this purple robe, okay? He's, you know, and he's like, don't I look great? We're walking down the halls and he's encouraging doctors and nurses. I said, Alan, you're such an encourager. He goes, and I said, he goes, a Barnabas. I said, yes, you're a Barnabas. I said, I'm encouraged to be in your presence. I said, look at you go. You're full of joy and kindness still. And he goes, well, Pastor, isn't that what the Holy Spirit does? Isn't that what it looks like to have joy and kindness with the Holy Spirit? Amen. We go out. We're sitting outside. We start just talking and we start laughing. I mean, I've never laughed so much in my life. We're just banter. And his brother rocks up from New Zealand. He's not saved yet. Yet. He rocks up and he looks solemn because my brother's dying in 3 days and then sister's there and it's, calm down, Alan, you might, you know. And then there's literally the kids of his daughter because they had to cancel the cruise. I literally got a text from Alan this week showing the letter that got sent by his doctor to his daughter to say, we're putting your dad in palliative care. He's going to die. You probably want to cancel your cruise. So they're there. And we anoint him with oil, we pray. And the biggest issue on Monday was the fact he had internal bleeding so bad, the doctor said, we can't stop it. There's nothing we can do to stop it. Get ready. Get your life, your orders in affair, like all your affairs in order. Just do what you need to do. So we prayed for him. That night, I get a text from Alan. Bleeding stopped. Amen, Alan. Amen. Next morning, I come to the men's prayer. We're praying for Alan. I told him about the faith of this man and how encouraged I was. I said, he's got 3 days to live. And I tell you what, if I'm near the end of my life and the doctors give me the prognosis, you're going to die in 3 days, I want to be like Alan Lucas, full of faith, full of life, and I'm going to use every last second and breath in my lungs to give God glory. Alan's there going, I don't know what's going to happen, Pastor, but may it bring God glory. I got a photo from that day. Does this look like a man that's got 3 days to live? That's what faith looks like over fear. And it's available to every person in this room. Full of strength and power. So we pray for him. It's just amazing. I said to the men at the church, I said, we're going to pray for Alan Lucas, that he gets more miracles. He's been still given 3 days and they're pretty much telling him they need to operate. When we were in there, I said, yeah, we're just going to pray. And so we prayed and I'm going to read a message because this is, this is the power of God. We are not messing around here. We have a living God on a throne that answers the prayers and the praises of his people. He loves his kids. So Alan's there. We're praying. We say amen. And then straight after we say amen, I literally get a text message from him, a scripture encouraging me in my faith. He literally sends this to me. And the second I go, amen, my phone, it's Alan. And he sends me this scripture. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And I'm like, that's what it looks like to live faith over fear. You've been given 3 days to live. I said, mate, we just stormed hell for you as a group of men in the prayer. He's like, thank you, Pastor, as and men. So how you going? He says, hey, family. I had an awesome night last night. 2 exclamation marks. Had a hot shower, retired at 10 p.m. and then slept for 8 hours. No pain, no nausea, no medication. Praise the Lord. I'm just like, Alan, you're amazing. I said, dude, I'm coming in today. We're going to do communion with you because we believe the word of God. And we believe when we remember what Jesus did for us, died and rose again. When we break the bread, it's a representation of Jesus' body broken for us so that we can find our healing. By the blood of Jesus, we can be healed. By his stripes, we are healed. And we're going to do communion. So we go in and we do communion. And it's amazing because people, like literally as we're doing communion, another member in the hospital is throwing up next to us. And I'm like, here we are, full of joy and seeking God, while everyone else is like, it's the end of the world. So we do communion. It's just the most mind-blowing experience. Like, it was just the presence of God was so thick, and I was so moved. I get home, I left a whole loaf of bread there. He couldn't actually eat the bread. So I said, "You hold the bread, Alan." So he held it. He goes, "Pastor," he says, "great man of God. So good." The guy next to me, he's a Christian, was so moved by communion. And he's like, and he was just so moved. I said, "Alan, you can share communion with him. Got a whole loaf of bread. Praise the Lord." So he's doing communion with other people in hospital as he's been given 3 days to live. But then it shifts. The next day, "Alan, how are you?" "Oh, praise God, Pastor. Things are good. This is the plan. I'm having surgery next Monday. I've got 10 days and they're going to put me in palliative care in the hospital." And I went, "No, you're going to be healed, Alan." He goes, "That's plan B, Pastor." When he arrived on the Friday, when he first got there, they gave him 3 hours to live. He was bleeding out. He told us on Tuesday. Then he got given 3 days to live. Then it's 10 days with palliative in hospital. Now they're saying, "It'll be palliative at home. You're going home." Now, this is the thing that I just find amazing. You know what healing is? It's more time to bring glory to God. Alan Lucas wants to bring glory to God. And you know what? God might give him another 30 years. Who knows? Like, you know, he'll live to 106, okay? But you know what? He knows who he is in Christ. It's so beautiful to see someone that has no fear, because you know that they know who they are in Christ. We're going to stand right now. You know, he actually got to share his testimony as well with myself and another friend. And he said, "I was an alcoholic, I lost my marriage, and then God entered in. I had one touch from God. It was like a lightning bolt from heaven, from head to toe. I was completely transformed by the power of God. I've never turned back." 32 years ago. If you can do it for Alan, he can do it for you. If you need Jesus, he wants to touch you today. It's a free gift from Jesus, not from me, from Jesus himself. He baptizes us with the Holy Spirit to give us power to take on our daily life, to be able to run, not be crippled by anxiety and fear. And if you need that right now, I'm going to get you to come down the front right now. He asked you to partner with him and step outside of your fear of just literally moving from a seat to come to the front. So if you need to be set free from the fear and anxiety, come and stand at the front right now. Come and move, move. Come down, because God wants to set you free today. Amen, 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 amen. Come on, come down the front. God wants to set you free. No longer a slave to fear, power and might in your life, knowing that God is for you, not against you. You are the head, not the tail. The word of God is true. By the way, I will say this. Can someone tell the kids team, we're going to go over a bit of time, and if the kids need to come back, if maybe you need to send your spouse to go collect your kids, bring them in here. Bring them into the presence of God. If you have to head off, you can head off. But what we're going to do right now, here's the thing. I've mentioned this before. We have to be living sacrifices. We die to ourselves. We repent. That's what repentance is. I'm letting go of my past. And so many of you have repented. Say, "God, I'm sorry. Forgive me of my sin," but you've held on to your thought life. And God wants you to repent of your thoughts and say, "Give me a new mind, a new creation. I am a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come." So if that's you right now, you know your mind, you need to repent of your thought life. I want you just to shut your eyes right now, and I want you to lay hands on your own head right now. Put your hands on your head.
Out loud.
Dear God, I repent of my thought life. I want a mind of Christ. I want to think like Jesus. Would you give me a new mind today? Would you set me free? Baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Would you baptize me in your power? Would you baptize me with your fire? Transform me completely. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.